When I'm talking about sinking storms, many things, situations in your life can become that storm. But the key verses throughout Scripture and with Christ has always been Jesus saying, "Do you believe?" So the key is in my believing in Him, not in my trust of myself. Oh, I know how to do this. You know, I'm a combat swimmer. I can do this. You can get in and you can drown. You found it that way in life? I'm getting out of this boat. It's sinking. You jump in the water, you're going to drown. Remind you, if Jesus is in the boat, don't get out. And if He ain't in the boat, don't get in it. The Lord said, "I will be with you. Where you go, I will go. The people you meet, I will be meeting. You're going to tell them about me? How do I do that? I don't want to frighten them. How am I going to do it? Through your actions of love." The only way you can express God's love for you and thanking God for His love is to love others and to care for others, not for their wealth, not just because they're sweet and personable. Gosh, folks, I've been here 24 years and I love you to death, but a lot of you are not that sweet. And you have told me that I'm not that sweet. But we love each other. We're called family, the family of God. And the key is this: do you believe, as Jesus looks down your life and my life? And in Matthew, here he is, he's traveling, he's going around, and you've got these two guys that are blind. And the guys are brought in to Jesus. And as they come in to Jesus, and he says, "Do you believe? Do you believe I can do this for you?" They said, "Yes, Lord, we believe." Scripture then says, "Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you." What do you believe I can do for you, Larry? "Anything, Lord." "What do you want me to do with you, Larry?" "Have mercy, Lord." Grace. I like mercy. I love grace. Unmerited favor. I sure don't deserve it, but I got it in Jesus Christ. But life is rough. Growing up is rough. But parents, listen to me. You're not easy to get along with. Those kids are having a hard time with you just like you're having with them. Because we want the best for our children. And we want better for our grandchildren. And we think about all the times that we have wanted to get in there, get our life involved so our children won't have to feel the pain. Been there, parent? You live there, don't you? I'd rather take the hit. I'd rather take the pain. I know Jesus. And I know how I grew up. And I know that parents can't always be with you. Parents, you cannot stick a GPS on them. I mean implant one and get by with it. Right now it's against the law. But you can tell Jesus and He'll be there. Jesus said, "I love you. I love you as a family. And I will watch over you." That's why we pray for our children. That's why we pray for our friends. That's why I pray for my enemies. You have enemies because you're a Christian. You automatically have enemies. But God says, "I want you to trust in my Son. Do you believe I can do this?" "Yes, Lord, I believe." And those two blind people, Jesus healed six that were blind. These two, He said, "Then see." And they left seeing. You know what He told them? "Don't go tell anybody." They're out to kill Jesus. Jesus said, "Don't go tell them. They'll be in here to kill me." What do? They go out shouting and telling everybody. So Jesus leaves. Then Jesus, as He's walking from village to village, there's a man that comes up to Him, and his name is Jairus. Now, Jairus' daughter was dying. And they said, Lord, will you come? Now, Jairus was highfalutin in the church. He was one of those super deacons in the church. There was another lady that was also dying with an issue of blood. We really don't know what that is, but an issue of blood. And that lady also on the way with Jairus. Now, you can imagine Jairus says, my daughter's dying, Lord. Here's this lady reaching up to grab the hem of his garment. Said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Jairus up in the church. This lady isn't even named. Same faith. Jairus had faith that Jesus could heal his daughter. Didn't have the faith he could bring her back from the dead. But he had faith. If I get him there fast enough. And here this woman is slowing him down from me getting to my daughter. She touches the hem of his garment. Interesting story. Because Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. Nothing had been wrong with her until she was 12. The lady had been suffering for 12 years. There had been something wrong with her for that full 12 years. So Jesus heals the lady as soon as she touches. Said, I felt it go from me. You know why? Because she believed. She believed. That's called faith. She didn't understand it. She did not know how it was going to happen. But she believed that it would happen. And it did happen. And poor Jairus, walking with the Lord, and he gets word his daughter had died. Said, Lord, don't bother now. It's too late. My daughter is already dead. You know what Jesus said? Come on. That's a paraphrase. Come on, you come with me. We're going to your house. And when it got to the house, Brother Randy, he goes in and he looks at the daughter who has already been pronounced dead. And he says to them, your daughter's not dead, but she's sleeping. And the people in the house laughed him to scorn. You know what Jesus did? Kicked them out of the house. Jesus is pretty tough when it comes to that stuff. He put them out. Because he would not allow non-believers to be around such a great miracle that was about to happen. And he says, young lady, rise. She comes back to life. He picks her up, hands her to Jairus. Can't you imagine Dad there with that look on his face? All the other people Jesus helped on the way did not prevent him from helping one who had the faith. Many times Jesus would reach out looking for someone that would believe. How do I prove my belief? You take the first step. Lord, I don't understand this, but now, from the human standpoint, you're going to cringe a lot. Because you're still in there, you have that human nature. You're going to hurt, you're going to be sick, and you're going to worry. Oh, I know. I preach all the time the scripture says, worry not. How many people in here never worry? And if you raise your hand, you're lying. Listen to me, folks. I'm talking about getting real in life. You want to conquer life? You conquer it through Christ. You haven't done very good so far doing it on your own. None of us have. The Lord said, you trust in me. First point I want to bring up. Have courage. Remember this. Jesus is with you. Mark 6, verse 50. Jesus said to them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. I'm going back to the water again. They're in the boat. All the disciples. Jesus isn't there. Another time when they had the boat problem, Jesus was asleep in the hull of the ship. Boat. Big boat. He was asleep. Said somebody wake Jesus. We're in the middle of a storm. So they had to go wake him. And Jesus comes back and he looks at the sea and he says, be still. Now, that's quite a message for the disciples. Now, this time, the boat's in a mess. The waves are about to sink the boat, and here Jesus comes walking on the water, and his disciples are looking, and they're scared. Gotta be a ghost. Gotta be a ghost coming after us. And Jesus says to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Well, the Lord says it to you in your life, in your own 9/11, in your own storm of life that's surrounding you right now. And when he says that, he says, "Now here's the way I want you to do it. Take a risk in faith." To Christ, there's no risk. To you, there's no risk. But to our human nature, we see there's a risk there. We start looking at life and we start saying, "Wait a minute. If I make this decision, what if I'm wrong?" Well, you're going to be wrong a lot of times. The majority of the time in your life, you're going to be wrong. But Jesus has never been wrong, not once. He saved you, didn't he? He didn't save you to throw you to the world. He did not save you to waste you. Now listen to Matthew 14, verses 28 to 29. This is Peter talking. Peter, James, and John, remember that inner core. And Peter says this, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Jesus didn't hesitate. He didn't say, "Now, Peter, you want to think about this one?" No, he didn't, did he? No, not at all. Peter said, "Lord, if it is you," Peter confronted. All the disciples said, "It's got to be a ghost." Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Now, boy, you talk about faith. Okay, I can ask the Lord to tell me what I need to do to serve him. And he can say, "This is what you need to do to express your love and your faith. Come." "But Lord, I got to step out of the boat to get to you. Will I float on top of the water?" Actually, Jesus wasn't floating on top of the water. He was walking on the water. He says, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. The people said there's only one man that ever walked on the water. No, it's not true. Peter did. He's sort of sissy about it, but he did. He gets out there and he's walking towards Jesus. Think about this one, though. You got the other disciples on the boat. Did you read anything about them saying, "Yeah, me too, Lord. Me too, let me too come"? Nope. It was Peter. And when we say, well, when Jesus speaks of Peter's faith, it is, "It's up on this rock I will build my church." The kind of faith you have, Peter, that's the church I'm building. It's on pure faith. It's on pure trust of me, not yourself. None of the rest of them had that kind of trust. Everyone's saying, "Peter, stand back. I'll go first. Come on, Peter. You always get to do this. Let me do it." No. So Peter walks. The next step on your 9/11 and your storm, stay focused on Jesus. Look at him. Every time you take your eyes off of him, you're going to sink, folks. And that's a sinking feeling when you start going down. And you know what I'm talking about in life. When whatever it is has hit you so hard, you know, it's just like that. We talk about, well, my whole stomach fell out. Just a sinking feeling. I don't know how to explain it. It's because you can't explain it. It's called brokenness. That's being hurt to the depth of who you are. But Jesus had been there. And he conquered. Matthew 14, 30. "But when Peter looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. 'Save me, Lord!' he shouted." Now what would I do? I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'll get you on the third bounce, Bob, when you come back up. That's the human part, isn't it? I am going to teach son, daughter, I promise you, I'm going to teach you a lesson on this. You know what the lesson was with Jesus? Peter knew that all he had to do was cry out to Jesus, his friend. That was the faith. But when he took his eyes off, he started to sink. The key is, number four, don't doubt. Take the step, but don't doubt it. When you take a step with Christ, I guarantee you, you will make it. Now, I'm not guaranteeing you, you will not be torn and tattered in the process, but you will make it. You're going to have a lot of scars on you in life, but the scars that are going to hurt you the most and are going to be the most impressive on your life are the ones nobody else can see. But God says, I see. I see your hurt. I see your pain. Oh, and I see you trust me. Matthew 14, verse 31. Immediately, the scripture says, Peter had shouted, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Peter did not grab hold of Jesus. Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter. Fishers of men going in for the catch. I belong to Jesus Christ, and I cannot get off that hook. I don't want off. I won't get off, and I can't be taken off. Jesus said, I got you. He got me. Peter, I love you. Foolishness and all, Peter, I love you. And yet Peter's faith was still greater than all the rest. Doesn't mean you're weak when you falter. It means you're human. And it means that a human being you're going to hurt and you're going to mess up. Give each other a chance, will you? Have mercy. Children, young people, have mercy on your parents. Parents, old people, have mercy on your children. Mercy and grace and love. And always have that hand out to grab. Always forgive. Always assure that loved one that you will never leave them nor forsake them either. Kids have got to have a home where they can walk through that door when getting into practice or school or wherever. And as soon as they walk through that door, they can shut it and say, phew, I made it. I made it to a home where there's peace. And I know that I'm loved in this home. I know that I'm loved in this home. Oh, that just doesn't build character. It builds trust. And then we worship God. I've seen all these blessings. I've seen everything poured out into our life, my life. What does it mean to worship God? Acknowledge God as God. Okay? There's your definition. Acknowledge God as God, that's worship. Listen. Matthew 14, 32 and 33. When Jesus climbed into the boat, the wind died down. All the elements pay attention to Jesus. All the animals pay attention to Jesus. We're the only ones of the creation, of His creation, that want to argue with getting saved. With argue with getting, but Lord, I didn't know. Now, Lord, I know you want to bless me, but I don't deserve it. Well, you're right. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. That's what a blessing is from Christ. I don't deserve mercy, which is unmerited favor, but I got it because of this. When Jesus climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him. Okay, here's your definition of worship. If you best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. You want to know what's something there for, keep reading. In the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. That was the worship. Did they kick in the song? These guys are shook up in the middle of a storm. They just watched their Savior walk on water. Peter walking on water, thinking Jesus pulling him up, climbing in the boat. No. We sing and we praise and we worship, which is great. But the worship is in the acknowledging. of who Christ is. Truly you are the Son of God. That's the worship. So we praise, we sing, we shout, we preach through that power. Folks, it is real. Life is real. But there's nothing more real for you in your life through those 9/11 situations, through the storms that's going on in your life. Nothing more real than Jesus. There's not a truer friend that you will ever have in your life than Jesus Christ. Now, He'll send friends that you will make to watch over you during those times of trials and troubles. But it is always Jesus who fulfills His mission. What I've started in you, He said, I'll finish in you. Now, I'm going to make that kid straighten up and fly right. I'm going to make that parent straighten up and fly right. You know what we do? We crash. It's a horrible feeling coming in and thinking you're going to crash. It's worse when you do. But the Lord says, no, I'm in the plane. I'm in the boat. You can't lose. You can't lose. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And it don't get better than that, Brother Randy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for your word, for your truth. Speak to us, Lord, that we might speak to others. Allow your love to be the kind of love that we will express to all those you send our way. Father, we need direction. We need your guidance. We need your help. Father, this nation is hurting. We have such corruption all around us. Our churches are hurting because of the same type of corruption. Brokenness. Father, look at your world. And look at your children. We cry out to you, Father. Have mercy upon us. Give us peace and the joy that surpasses all understanding. Father, we praise you for Jesus and praise you for being our God. We ask now your blessing as we make our commitments to you. In Jesus' name, amen.